Al Gore started in Congress the same year.
Yes.
The two of you, I believe, worked on issues together.
Some issues, yeah.
What was your impression of Al Gore then when you met him?
Well, son of a United States senator, and he was running for president right then, I thought, in many respects. Al Gore's a bright guy, smart, very politically oriented. Of course, he was raised there and educated there in the shadows of the United States Congress in Washington, D.C. I found him to be a very capable guy. He made the gym every morning for a basketball practice and everything like that. I was down there working out myself some. But he and I served on Science and Technology Committee.
So did he invent the Internet? I say that facetiously because supposedly he had said that sometime.
Let me share you the story about
right.
that. People wondered why I got on Science and Technology Committee. Now, I got on the Banking and Finance Committee because I realized that economic infrastructure that I was trying to put together for Southeast Oklahoma, financing is the number one thing you got to have. Unless you're a public health company where you can issue stock, you got to put together some kind of financial package to help industry. We didn't have that opportunity throughout the area of Southeast Oklahoma. Had small banks that make cattle loans, pickup loans, but business and industrial loans. I got on the Banking and Finance Committee when I went to Congress. The first thing I did, you were allowed two committees when you went to Congress. The second committee I was on, I got on Science and Tech. Most people said, what in the world do you do that for? Science and Technology, very futuristic committee. But also, I had gone to Southeastern and used their library, their database down there, in a little group called TUSC, Technology Use Study Center. Funded by NASA. NASA was under the jurisdiction of the Science and Tech Committee. See that big black book over there? That's the Overall Economic Development Plan, OEDP, for Southeast Oklahoma. I used a database out of TUSC and putting that Overall Economic Development Plan together, which was required by the CADO, the Economic Development District I put together. One of the former presidents of University at Eastern last Wednesday night said that there's over $300 million worth of projects that he could point to in that book that we were able to put together. But I went there because I converted that TUSC, which was dissemination from NASA research. If you had some question, you send to them. I converted that to an IACT, Industrial Application Center. I put more money in it. I ended up taking that and changing that to ITRAD. And ITRAD was the industrial technology put together in that area. Make a long story short on that. I converted that and called it Rural Enterprises, Inc., REI. REI is the most comprehensive rural economic development district in the United States. I'm proud of it. It's brought in over $2 billion for business and industry in that area. I've tried to put together a culture of people that could help me develop the economic industrial base of that part. Now, Al Gore's there too. Making a long story short on that, I put together all this economic infrastructure, technology incubators, the new process fair, CITD, the international trade, and we'll talk about that maybe after a while. But I pounded the table, and I know I became obnoxious, probably some of them, about technology transfer. Remember what I mentioned about Henry G. Bennett out there in the hallway a while ago? Harry Truman, President Truman, tapped him to head the Point 4 program, which is today the USAID, the only foreign aid type program that the United States has being implemented to try to help those areas. Now, recognizing the technology transfer here at the Land Grant University here at OSU, the Land Grant University set up by the Morrill Act of 1890 requires and mandates instruction, research, and extension technology transfer. In agriculture, we did a beautiful job throughout the United States. We have experimental stations doing research. We became the garden spot of the world after 4-H, the FFA, taking research and all that. But the point, we were mandated at the land-grant universities to do research and do extension. The federal laboratories did not require that, the federal laboratories. Now, I was sitting there on that committee pounding a table about that, about technology transfer. In fact, became known, kind of, as Mr. Technology Transfer. Now, Al Gore was there. I thought I heard the bells ringing for me to come home and be governor. not enough people heard the bells ringing, so I didn't become governor. And I thought I was really out of politics. Al Gore went over to the United States Senate. He tweaked some language over about getting used. And I found, though, when I was on science and tech there, they had no technology transfer agents in the federal laboratories. The Stevenson-Wilder Act, which was coming out of our committee, I tweaked that and got 0.5% of money to establish the technology transfer in the federal laboratories. So they'd have a person trying to get the nuggets out of that research that could be commercialized. We were mandated to do the extension here on land-grant universities, but not on the federal level. Got 0.5%. That was about $175 million, though. Start setting up these. Now, here's where I'm coming to on that. Al Gore became a United States senator, and he walked in DARPA. That's the military or the Department of Defense research. In the book, A Coming Jobs War, by Jim Clifton, who was the chair and CEO of Gallup International, the great polling organization, he points out on page 75, Dr. Vernon Cerf, the head of DARPA, said Al Gore came in, and after the discussion, he said, well, Dr. Cerf, is there anything there can be commercialized? Dr. Cerf said, I thought Al Gore's kind of crazy, asked me that question. Dr. Cerf said, well, yeah, there might be. He said, there's some fiber optic stuff that here in the military that Vince we utilize. Well, Dr. Cerf took that. He said, I wonder what would happen if Al Gore did not have ever asked that question. If we had missed the bus or missed the plane and didn't come and asked that question. He said he went to people like Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, individuals like that to commercialize it. He said Al Gore was the mentor of getting that done.
We're talking about the technology for the Internet.
Internet, yes. That's exactly right.
And he asked the question, can we commercialize that technology?
Yes. That's the question.
So maybe, I don't know if Al actually said it or not, he didn't invent the Internet.
No, he was, I'd say, the guy who opened the mind about commercializing the technology that was there in the Department of DARPA along that line. Why is that important? That dot-com industry, over 30 years, he points out in the book, The Coming Jobs War by Jim Clifton, page 75, about this meeting of Al Gore and Dr. Cerf. Dr. Cerf pointed out, and Jim Clifton says, over the 30 years of dot-com, they estimate that it brought in $100 trillion to our economy. What would have happened if we hadn't had that $100 trillion in our economy?
You know, I suppose Al Gore did ask that question, but eventually it might have come to that.
Eventually.
But it could have been 10 years, 5 years.
That's
you
right.
Don't know. And it got a jump start on it.
Jump start's a good word to use. And it's right there. We are in serious trouble in this country. Not just in my southeast Oklahoma where I was, but think about the state of Oklahoma and diversification. The coming jobs war, as Jim Clifton talks about. Oklahoma, what did we find? We had to cut out 16% in our higher education budget this year, cut deeper than that even this last go-around. We've got to build and diversify our economic base. We've got to look at finding that other nugget, and there are others, but we've got to go and find them and get them implemented.